our hearts and minds to receive what you are saying to us now from this ancient story recorded in your word. We thank you that you are sovereign over the leaders of this world. There's no one greater. There's no one who one day will not bow and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. So give us ears to hear what you're saying to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just to remind us of what's happening here, the people of God have been taken brutally into exile. Daniel and his friends have been forced, assimilated, if you like, into Babylonian culture, yet they are standing firm in their faith in God. I don't know about you, but I think in many ways the times in which we live parallel some of the challenges and tensions of living in the Babylonian court for Daniel and his friends. Many people are not Christian or church friendly or just ignorant of the things of God. We live in an increasingly secular society where being a Christian who believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is becoming increasingly unpopular. To be extreme about anything, to declare truth as absolute, is a no-no in many scenarios in this day and age in which we live. How can we be distinct Christians and really hold to the truth of the Bible and comply with some of the legislation that's coming out of Westminster or even out of the Senate? We live in challenging times. God spoke in this passage today to a brutal world leader. Nebuchadnezzar was a world leader in his day. He spoke to him through a dream and used Daniel ultimately to bring him to confess that our God is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. God uses his humble servants in his church to speak to world leaders. How does that apply into our context here? We're in Leaswood, a village in Flintshire. I haven't got to remind you of that, you know that. But what possible good can come out of Flintshire? Well, a lot. Because God can use the humble to speak to the great and the mighty. And what we're going to learn through going through this book of Daniel is that God uses ordinary people who are faithful and true to their God to overthrow the forces of darkness in high places. You may have heard of Dr. R.T. Kendall. He was the minister of Westminster Chapel in the years after Martin Lloyd-Jones, a man from Canada originally, and had a long and fruitful ministry. When he retired from Westminster Chapel, the Lord laid on his heart to write to Yasser Arafat. Remember him? Leader of the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization. The Lord said to him, RT, I want you to contact Yasser Arafat. So he did. And he actually had an audience with him. And he started to share the gospel with a Muslim, with Yasser Arafat, because God told him to do so. Yasser Arafat, it is reported, on his deathbed, actually confessed Jesus as his Savior and Lord. That's God using a Christian to speak to a powerful leader who knows nothing of God so that God may meet with him. God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament have a unique influence on people in power. Never underestimate how God is going to use Bethania Baptist in 2022. We might be small, we might be humble people of ordinary circumstances, let's say, but God has great things for us to do. So let's take a quick look at some of the things that Daniel learned from his experience. First of all, in the first few verses here, we learn that Daniel's disaster became God's success. The story is this. Nebuchadnezzar has a terrifying dream, and he wants to know what it means. And he commands Daniel and all the other astrologers, as he put them, to tell them the meaning of the dream, but he wouldn't tell them what the dream was. They had to discern what the dream was and then interpret it. Seems extremely harsh. But what was a potential disaster became a success for God. You see, a troubled leader is a sign that God is at work. If anybody becomes particularly anti-Christian or particularly brutal, rest assured that there's something stirring in their heart where God is doing something in that leader. By his grace, that person will come to faith in him. See, Nebuchadnezzar was drunk with power, haunted by a fear of assassination. When you're at the top of the tree, when you're the world leader, what are you frightened of? Somebody coming to attack you, murder you, and take your place. He was threatened. He was scared. By day, he wrestled to suppress his suspicion and hatred. By night, they emerged to rob him of his sleep. Like Shakespeare wrote, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. When you've got all the power, you're most paranoid. God often makes us uncomfortable before speaking to us. And God was about to speak to Nebuchadnezzar. Now let's think for a moment of the people of power and influence that we face as we go about our ministry through Bethania. Let's bring it right down to families. People in our families who aren't yet Christians, who are strong and very anti-Christian, and we're praying for them to be saved. Let's think of people in the workplace who make our lives difficult because of their strong non-Christian stance. An awkward boss, a really difficult colleague. Our God is able to work in the hearts and minds of those who oppose him. And as we move into 2022, let's pray for people who seem totally against the Christian faith to come to know Jesus. God often makes us uncomfortable before breaking into our lives. Nebuchadnezzar was about to see the mighty power of God at work in his life. He was paranoid that he might be assassinated. God was about to break in to his life. A death threat opened up a door for God to speak. Look at verses 5 down to 17. Nebuchadnezzar's reasoning was this. If the astrologers cannot recall the past, i.e. what I dreamt, then I can't trust them to interpret the future. You can see his logic. If they're so in touch with God, if they're so able to know all things, then they can tell me what I dreamt without me telling them. There are times when the gauntlet is thrown down to the church by people in positions of power. If your God is real, then show me. If your God is real, then let's see a miracle happening. They throw down the gauntlet. I can remember a television interview, you may remember this, when Michael Parkinson one day was interviewing Billy Graham. Anybody see that interview from many, many years ago? Michael Parkinson was cynical, let's say, in interviewing Billy Graham. And he said to him towards the end of the interview, well, convince me to become a Christian. And Billy Graham said, I can't convince you, but I'll quote something from the Bible, as Billy Graham would. And he said, Michael Parkinson, for God loved you so much that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've never seen a man squirm so much in his seat as he did on that occasion. It was just a powerful opportunity. The gauntlet had been laid down, and Billy Graham just quoted the word of God. I believe that we are living in such times now where there's a strong secular humanistic commitment to oppose the Christian faith. The gospel is seen as naive, it's seen as insulting, politically incorrect, socially irrelevant. The gauntlet is thrown down to the church, but the church can rise, fully standing on the word of God and declare the truth of the gospel. At this point, Daniel didn't have the answer. He didn't know what the dream was. But he had a confidence that his God would reveal everything he needed to face the challenge of his day. Now, I don't know what you're facing personally. I know some of the things we're facing societally at this point in time as Christians. We're becoming increasingly marginalized in some quarters. The gauntlet is definitely thrown down there. But how do we respond to that? Daniel had a confidence. I don't know the answer, but I know that God will bring the answer. So I don't know what you're facing, what challenges you have in 2022, what seemingly impossible rivers you've got to cross or walls you've got to climb, but our God has the answers. God will deliver us in times of crisis. That's what our God will do. So God spoke to Daniel between prayer and praise. The friends agreed to pray together. Daniel and his friends, in verse 17, they started, of course, first course of action to actually commit this to the Lord in prayer. And that's something Jesus taught his disciples to do, wasn't it? He said, if two of you on earth agree, you pray, you agree about anything, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Daniel said to his friends, look, let's pray. We've got no answer here. There's no way through that's easily clear to us. Let's pray. And I think there's going to be stuff in 2022 when we'll reach this decision as a church membership here, and it'll be, there's a barrier we're facing. It might be a financial need. It might be hardness to the gospel in certain parts of the village. It might be opposition to members of the church. And what do? We can only say, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. That's all we can do is pray. Daniel slept, and then God spoke to him. That's confidence for you, isn't it? You're scared you're going to be executed for getting this dream interpretation wrong, and he goes to sleep, and sleeps soundly. Daniel slept, and God spoke. During the night, God spoke to him. And then in verse 20, he starts to praise and worship God. This is a sign of the Holy Spirit at work in the Old Testament. How can a man like Daniel, given so much responsibility in the Babylonian court, with his own life under threat, actually have the peace of mind enough to pray, say, Lord, help us, and then fall into a deep sleep? That's a sign of God's hand, isn't it? That's a sign of God's hand upon us. Think of Jesus in the boat during the storm, when his disciples are panicking, saying, you know, wake up! We're going to lose our lives here. And Jesus is fast asleep in the boat. Why? Because he knows that he's able to calm the storm. Or the Apostle Peter, when he was asleep in prison prior to being tried and executed. He was due for execution the next day. What is he doing? Sleeping like a baby next to his jailers until the angel comes and leads him out of prison. As God starts to move in power, even in the most desperate, adverse circumstances, he gives us a peace that nobody can take away from us. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's troubling you, individually, family-wise, corporately, perhaps in the work context, but our God is able to speak peace into our lives. And then Daniel proceeded with faith and humility. Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. No wise man can explain to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And the Lord reveals the mystery to Daniel. Here, the role of the prophetic is key in saving the lives of Daniel and his friends. And there comes a time in the life of our church when we do our mission effectively and faithfully, the preaching of the gospel. We run our Alpha courses or Christianity Explored. We do our Bright Sparks. We do our youth work and our children's work. And we're faithful in articulating the gospel. But there is always space, and must always be space, for the prophetic. For God to speak in when it's God moving unmistakably, speaking over and above our own human deliberations and actions. So what is God saying to us at Bethania in 2022? What is he saying to us? Well, I believe the signs are good. I believe that he will add to our number those who are being saved. I believe that we will see more people healed. I believe that we will see families in the village who will open their hearts and minds to people they know here in the church family and pour out their hearts to us. I believe the Holy Spirit will go before us and prepare the way. May seem tough, may seem unlikely, may seem almost impossible, but our God will go before us. Then God spoke in the book of Daniel here of his kingdom rule in familiar pictures. The king's dream became public knowledge. He actually dreamt of an enormous statue. Now, God used imagery familiar to his hearers because in that particular time, in about 1300 BC, enormous statues were commonplace in some of the big cities in the Middle East. For example, in Ephesus, there was a giant colossus. It was a statue of Pharaoh Amenhotep III. Of Egypt, there was an enormous statue. They had statues of great warriors and great gods in the Middle East at that time. And in this powerful dream that Daniel tells the king that he's dreamt and then goes to interpret it, it is of an enormous statue. The head is of gold. The dream unveiled what God would do. The head of gold was Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar in all his authority and power, ruling the then known world. Then the chest of the arms of silver is the Medo-Persia world power that followed Babylon, led by Cyrus the king. Then the belly of the thighs of bronze is Greece and Macedonia, Alexander the Great. The legs of iron, the Roman Empire and the Caesars that led it. The feet of iron and clay, the divided Roman Empire. In order of decreasing might and authority, from the strong head down to the weak feet. What is God saying? The stone that's carved not by a human hand comes and crashes into that statue. It is shattered and it becomes dust and is blown away by the wind. What is God saying? Is God able to judge the rulers of this world? Is God able to remove their power? Is God able to bring justice to oppressed nations? Yes, yes, and yes. But what's happening here? Well, the rock that is cut, not from human hands, strikes the statue and blows it apart, is the rock of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is Christ himself who destroys all ungodly authority and brings his kingdom to reign in power. Put yourself in the context of Babylon. You would have thought there was no one greater than Nebuchadnezzar. Anyone who dares speak out against him is destined to be executed. But in reality, our God reigns. Our God reigns. There's no authority greater than his. During the rule of the Roman Empire, a rock did come. He was born in humble circumstances. He grew up in humble circumstances. At 30, he started to preach the kingdom of God. At 33, he was arrested and crucified. At 33, he rose from the dead. He said to his disciples, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." This rock destroys all human authority. This rock ensures the church is built and grows forever and is never thwarted. This is the message of the gospel for 2022. Small, we're a small church, but we have a great God. We're ordinary people, but we have an extraordinary God. And I'm going to invite us to pray in faith for Jesus to build his church right here in Leeswood in 2022. All those impossible odds, but Lord, this is happening, but Lord, how can that possibly change? But Lord, we've tried forever with this family and they never responded, but our God is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So let's pray in faith that Jesus will indeed build his church. We're not just talking about Bethania. I'm praying for Kedron, for for Christ Church, for the Methodists, for every expression of the body of Christ in this village. Let's see Jesus build his church. And I'm praying, I'm sure you are too, for members of my family who don't yet know Jesus to be part of that growing church. I'm sure you've got members of your families who aren't yet Christians. And like me, you're pleading with the Lord, Lord, please, work a miracle. Let's trust him for that miracle. Think about Daniel must have felt and his sense friends. Everything's against us. He won't even tell us what the dream is. We're doomed. But through faith and trust in God, he was able to tell him the dream and to interpret it. Nebuchadnezzar eventually bowed the knee before God. Who knows what God might do through our faithful prayers in 2022. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are a God who never fails. Our trust is in you. We do not trust in our own abilities, in our own successes, but we trust in you, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And quietly now, Lord, as we close this service, we just bring before you silently in our minds those people in our own lives, those circumstances where it seems impossible that there'll ever be an answer to prayer. And we pray that this year there will be an answer to prayer. Those circumstances that block us will be overcome. The people that we've prayed for years and still aren't Christians will come to know you. We pray, Lord, for you to build your church. In Jesus' name, amen.